Accession number 24187, real 7.
Mr. Percy, real 7. You said you landed at Port Tewfik, was it? You reached Port Tewfik.
Port Tewfik.
Do you remember, do you remember what kind of date this would be?
It'd be early 42.
How long had the journey taken?
I think it took a month. Took a month to get there. And we got off the Queen Mary and put ashore, and we had to march so many. And then they put us on a train. And we went on a train and we went to a place, I think it was called Heliopolis. And then from Heliopolis we had to march from Heliopolis to Almaza, which was the artillery camp.
What was your first impressions of Egypt?
I enjoyed it, really. It was because where we went there was Almaza. They had your breakfast, and you went on parade, and they called your numbers out. It was a roll call, and they tell you the drill, what you had to, you know, what the camp was doing, what we were there for. We were there for reinforcements, and it was a prison camp as well for people what had showed cowardice in front of the enemy, and they were in a compound. And the guards, there was 4 guards on each corner. It was a big square, like, and they were sitting in the sun, near shelter, and they were on charges for, I don't know what it was, mostly it was cowardice in the face of the enemy, or something like that. And we were told not to toss cigarettes at them, you know, they were on punishment. And I felt sorry for them, like, you know, and some of the lads did toss cigarettes, but they were put on a charge as well. Like, if they help these people any time, and they give us a lecture, what had happened? One of the people that said, "Show cowardice in face of the enemy." He was gone up to take ammunition to the gun, and he was getting attacked by his stokers and that. So he jumped out of his wagon and run away, and he got, instead of attacking the ammo to the gun, like, and that's what he was up for. Little things like that, you know. Well, it's big things when you're in the army. And but he was, and they were threatening you for 5 years, not 56 days. You'd be 5 years and kept out there in them days. It was, you know, I'm not going to get a nut. Like, it was fear of, you know, they were just putting the fear. If you did do a bunk, or whatever, you couldn't do much of a bunk because it was all. You couldn't go anywhere unless you went in the war quarters, and you'd soon be found out. And that was it. Went to Halmarth, and then
what was the camp like?
Oh, the camp was a proper artillery camp, like, you know. But there was a lot of monuments to gunners. There was done in. In sand, like, you know, there was gunners in action, and 25-pounders and Beaufort guns, you know, and it's all artillery.
Was it a permanent camp?
Yeah, it was a permanent camp, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, what I liked, you worked till 12 o'clock, and then you got your tiffin, and that was it. The rest of the day was yours. You didn't do anything. Only up to your own devices, like. But you could. There was a pictures on they used to say show the pictures on a wall, you know, that was a screen, and you used to all sit and there was a darkness when it was dark, like, and you used to have films and that. We were there for about a week, I think.
Did you have talks coming out to Egypt about Egypt? Were you given lectures on the land and the people?
No.
And what about the warnings for things like VD and that kind of thing?
Oh, well, you learned that from your comrades, because some of the old soldiers had been out there before, and they were telling you about the brothels and the VD and and places, you know, and there was brothels, there were army brothels. I mean, they're run by the army. And you got a prophylactic pack, which was a French letter, and some blue unction, we call it, or something. Condish crystals. And you went in this brothel, and you signed your name, put your number and your name, and they were given this prophylactic pack. Then you went in the brothel, and you'd done your business, and that was it. Now, if later you got VD, and you'd been to the brothel, you were treading all lightly. You say, as long as you had your name down on that down. But the people what went in the brothel very rarely got VD, because it was run by the army, and them lasses were inspected every day. But if you took one off the street and you got VD, you were shown up, you weren't allowed to wear the blue tie. You know, you used to wear a tie. They had blue uniform and a red tie. Now, if you're VD and you're in hospital, you weren't allowed the red tie. And that's how the nurses used to know you got VD. Now, I learned all this later on, because I was only a young lad, and I was listening to these old soldiers telling us, and we did went to Cairo, went to the brothel, while we were at Almada, and I got a shock of my life when I seen a brothel.
What was it like, the brothel that you went to? Can you describe it?
It was called the Burger, the brothel, and I went in with the lads, and it just went in like a big house, and there was there must have been about 20 women, and they were sitting on the hallam pots, you know. There used to be, they were chatting about 15 or 20 men on, you know, and...
Were they good-looking young women?
They were very good-looking, a lot of lasses. And the one is very old, about 30 at the most, you know. So but they were all mostly young lasses, and they were good-looking lasses, and... Of course, they come and sat on your knee, you know, and egging you on.
How much would it cost you to have a...
I can't remember that. I think it was about 20 acres. 20 acres and then 20 piastres. There was 100 piastres to a pound. We call them acres in them days. Of course, to me, it was adventure, you know. I mean, for a young lad, I really enjoyed it. And anyway, there was a flap up the desert somewhere.
I just ask you before we leave the camp you're in, what were you doing in the morning once you were working?
You got up and done a parade. You know, you had to be doing something in the morning, because there was a lot on you, and the line you're up and shortest on the left, tallest on the right, and all of that, you know. And you did a left turn, right turn, advance, and the usual drills. And there was me and a mate of mine, and we're in two ranks, and we're two smallest, and at right turn we were at the front, and we were on side by side, and of course you got wrong for talking tonight, but he was saying, anyway, I'll see you tonight in the nothing, Jody. I says, okay, Bill, I'll see you. And now we were marching, keep your eyes in front, we were talking out the side of our face. And this warrant officer shouted, left and right turn. So the left flank went to the left, and the right flank went to the right. But me, I'm at the front, I keep marching on across the desert. Well, the square. And he shouts, halt. He says, where the effing hell are you going? You know, the warrant officer, of course, they swore in them days. And he says, come here. He says, what they call you? I said, Jody Percy. And he says, can you not hear? And I said, aye. I said, well, he says, and I started speaking he says, I might a bloody non, a bloody Geordie. He said, look at the lads. He said, look at what they sent out to fight Rommel. Most embarrassing day in my life. And, because I was only a little, it was funny, you know. He said, look what they've sent out to fight Rommel. And anyway, they called this bloke Sergeant Major Wolf. But he just laughed at it, you know. He said, go and get yourself back in the ranks. I think he was a Geordie, you see, come from up here, so myself, so I got away with it.
And it sounds like a depot where the you're in, waiting for moving.
The what?
It sounds as though you're in kind of a depot.
Oh, it was a we're in canvas.
Yeah, yeah. We're in tents.
Big tents. And
what was the food like in the desert?
Oh, it was we enjoyed it because we've been in England, in Blighty, like, and out there, you got watermelons and tea. It was plenty of tea, hot sweet tea, like. And we used to get evaporated milk, you know. You know, I loved it. It was real shy, what we call shy. That was, we used to get watermelons and eggs. There was stacks of eggs, you know, eggs and bacon for breakfast. We didn't get that in Blighty, you know. We were well fed and we got, well, of course there was a lot of flies about, but we had, when you went in this marquee, we grew up, there was a mosquito net so that the flies and the mosquitoes couldn't get in. And it was quite good at El Marza, and I enjoyed the grub. And I think we were there about a week or 12 days or something like that. And then there was a flap on, and we had to go. We fell in, all of us, and there was a. We were in charge of a captain, and he marched us for 20 odd miles. I didn't know what it was, acclimatized us or what, but we marched from Al Marza to Gaza, which they said it was 26 miles, but there was a lot fell out on the way, like, but I was still at the front and full march. No, we had small packs on, not full marching on, but we had rifles and bayonets and that, but we had, instead of a full big pack, we had small packs, and we marched through Cairo, and the people were saying, there were some white women there. And they were saying, good luck, lads, you know. And I said, well, the hell are we gone? Like, anyway, we went to Farouk's Palace. And that was because we learned later, like, because when you get marched out there, you didn't know what's happening. And, of course, nobody tell you anything. The officers never tell you anything. And then we got to, it was Farouk's Palace. And engineers were there, and they were planting mines and things in case Jerry come right through. And we were there, we dug the holes and they put the mines in and that. And after we'd been there 2 or 3 days, they said, right, you are. They sent the wagons down, we went back to El Marza. So we didn't know what was happening. And I think it was at the place, it was a gala, and the British had been pushed back, like, and there was a bit of a flap on. And that was it. We went back to
home. How did the Egyptians treat you?
Oh, they were all right. Of course, they wanted to clean your shoes all the time. You know, the lads, the kids, but the Egyptians. I think they wanted the Germans to win, to tell you the truth, like, you know, but otherwise they were okay. Of course... some of them were all right, but I suppose there was others didn't like you. But we didn't have much, only when we went in the brothels that you had anything to do with. They used, and our lads, they deserved what they got because the British were more like the Germans at the time, I think, because there was a, I'm saying this, I'm actually saying this myself, that this of course we called them wogs in them days, but this Egyptian was selling sunglasses, and he went to this British 2 or 3 laughing and joking, he'd had a few drinks, and they got hold of the doings and tossed it over his head, and all the glasses went on the floor. Now the lad hadn't done it, and I think that was wrong. Another time I seen some Aussies, Australians, there was this Arab with a barrel load of watermelons, and they pushed them out the road and tossed. The butter went up and the watermelons were all over the place. Now, this is what the British doing. So, the British wanted, that's why we're hated at times, because we used to do things like that. This is the way it is. I've seen some bad things done by the British to other people. And, I don't know, it's, I think when they're away from home, they just gone daft.
But you weren't there very long, you said.
No, I wasn't there very long, and, we went, I think it was a, We're at Almaty, and then it says, get on this truck, and we went to a place called Amarilla. I think it was Amarilla. And it said there was about 15 of us, I think. And anyway, we went on this truck and went to Amarilla, and they shouted our names out, and Percy, so-and-so. All my mates got split up. They went other. He says, well, you're going to 155 battery. And I says, you're going up the blue. I says, the blue? What's the blue? He says, oh, you're going up the desert. That's what we didn't call it the desert. We call it the blue. You're going up the blue. A lot of names, what you had. You got used to them, right? And anyway, I gets on this 1,500-weight truck. Was four of us. Well, I didn't know the other lads, but anyway, there was four of us. And he took one bloke to one gun. This was up a place called Burgal Arab. And we went. He stopped at the gun and he said to this lad, he shouted his name out, yeah, come with me. And then he went to this gun and talked to the sergeant and he left him. And then he took another bloke and then he come to me and I went to this other gun and he says, oh, you were 155 battery. And this is Sergeant O'Hara. So he shook my hands. I said, well, this is a queer move, shaking your hands. And the officer, he says, well, all the best, like. I said, bloody queer, bloody move, this, you know. Because the enemy, officers didn't say that to you. So anyway, he guns away and he's left with us. And all the lads were saying, and the sergeant said, what gun, what number do you do on the gun? I said, we've got, because he hadn't heard about change round drill. Oh, I says, I do any number. What do you mean? I says, well, we get changed round drill. And say, I'm the ammo, a layer for line, or I'm day number four. That's a loader. And I says, oh, I'm day any of the numbers. And that was it. He says, I'm Sergeant O'Hara, and this is Corporal, so I cannot remember the names now, like years ago. And I got there was about seven of us. And we were okay, we were best of pals, but the whole come from Burnley, you know, I got on well with them, they were great lads, and they made you at home. Oh, they were smashing crew, like, you know, and I really got on well with them. And
who was commanding the battery?
A bloke called, ours was a troop, it wasn't a battery. I can't remember what the name of the major was, and what was in charge of the battery. But our captain was in charge of the troop, which was six guns. They call him Harris. Bob Harris, that's what his name was. And
what was he like?
Great. No bullshit at all. And in fact, you could call him Bob, and he wasn't saying out. He was down there, and he knew what we were going through. Like, well, the ladies or the lads, not so me, but the other lads had been through hell, like, you know. And because I was only a reinforcement. And anyway, they seemed to get, of course, they'd been in action. And I mean, they'd been in Crete and Greece. They'd had a rate hammering. And that's why they shook hands, because you never know how long you're going to be, like, you know. And I didn't realise it till later. And anyway, we get somewhere. I says, where do we sleep? He says, well, you just sleep on that canvas there, and then you pull it. It was a tent. He says, you're going in the tent and pull the tent away. You can't put the tent up because the Germans are there. You know, and you get... Because they used to just get in the tent. It was on the ground like a tarpaulin, and then you pull the tent away. And so you're all in a line at night time. And anyway... This was the first day I was there. Anyway, about 12 o'clock at night, everything hell broke loose, like, you know. And I'm still, I sleep like a tuck, mate. And anyway, they all dashed on the gun. And I'm still, anyway, I gets up at the finish and I dash in, gets on the gun. And I'm in the gun pit. And the sergeant says, he says, go back and put your boots on. He says, there's a load of scorpions around here. I said, oh, no, go on. Anyway, what had happened, some planes had come over, and there was, what we were guarding was a petrol dump. Well, the petrol dump was on fire, and it was all lit up, and I says, well, the jury, oh, she says, it's just over that. And she says, not very far away, like, and I says, oh, I said, bloody hell. And he says, go and put your boots on. I says, no, I says, he says, a load of scorpions, a bugger of scorpions, I've gone out there. Anyway, it was funny. That was a funny side of it, like. Anyway, after that, during the day, we used to get breakfast in and tea. We used to get, the Germans used to keep to the proper time, like, you used to come, breakfast, dinner, tea time. And they used to come over, you know, there used to be snake raids, like, you know, come out of the sun, and that's when we used to fire. But you only used to get 10 shots and they were away, and that was it. And from them on, it was. And
they basically came at meal times.
Meal times, or you just got to toss a tin of bully beef at you and a packet of biscuits, that was your lot. And the Russians used to get some. A smaller amount of flour, and you used to get plenty of jam, because Haifa wasn't very far away, and you used to get plenty of sweet stuff, sugar. You used to get a bulk nappy and get as much sugar as you wanted. Cigarettes. Things were completely different to what it was in Blighty. And they come around and says, of course, we were in the back area at the time, like, Burgal Arab was a back area, and they says, how much pay do you want? I says, you never heard of that, you know. He says, are you in credit? I says, I didn't know. He says, well, oh, he says, you better get £20. Well, £20 is a lot of money to me. Anyway, so it's okay, I get the £20. Right? We're buying beer, you know, from the bulk nothing, and anything you wanted. But mostly you kept the money for the, if in case you got leave down to care or like. And I says, well, but money wasn't any object there, because he says, when we're on the move, he says, you'll not get paid. We didn't get paid, like, for, that's why they were in credit, like, but I wasn't. But I still got 20 quid. But he says, you shall be in credit, because we moved and we were digging gun pits. Well, it was wasted. By the time you got dug the gun pit, you were moved somewhere else.
What was life like in the desert?
Beautiful, I think.
In what ways was it beautiful?
Well, I may say, there was no bullshit, but I didn't like bullshit. And you got up, as soon as that sun come up, it was nice and warm. You know, you had just your shorts on, and I was as brown as a berry. And there was no bullshit. Even the sergeant, you know, O'Hara would just... just call them, hey, Ara. You know, you just call them. And you still did gun drill, mind you. I mean, the officer used to go, give them change the barrel. You know, get change barrel drill and all the rest on. You used to get all that. But you just took it as a... it was part of your job, like.
What about water? Was it rationed? The water supply to you, was that rationed?
There was... the water was salty. It was a lot of chlorine in it. And you boiled the water, and petrol was cheaper than water. And you had a tin, and you put sand in, and then you poured petrol on top of the sand, and then you put your Dixie on top, and you boiled your Dixie with petrol. And petrol was cheaper than water. You used to get 4-gallon tins. And one of the tins of petrol, we used to cut off, so we boiled the kettle on, boiled the Dixie. And evaporated milk and sugar, you know, there's plenty on it. It's not like in England, we've got plenty of that. And I liked the biscuits and bully beef, and lean meat. And we know it's starving. I mean, you used to have biscuits and jam, you know, as when you wanted. I mean, any time you're just going to get a packet of... there was stacks on it, you know. There was... cases of bully beef and get packets of biscuits. They were hard tack. No, it wasn't, but they were all right. But the trouble was that some of the blokes, the oldest blokes, they hadn't any teeth and they couldn't eat. And what they used to do, they had a mincing machine. And they put the biscuits through the mincing machine, and they had like bread pudding. And they put, we had plenty of jam, so they had jam bread pudding. And that's how they used to eat it. That's where we lived in them days, in the desert. Of course, you had gone by the where everything went.
Did you have a cooking facility on the site?
When you were on the move, you didn't have anything. Only you had this tin we filled with sand and you boiled that, and everything was a tin. I used to hate it. Used to get McConaughey's. Was full of fat and that. It was a tussy. Well, I could never stand eating fat. And it was cold. Well, it was warmish with the weather like. But there was a ton of tin. But I never ate tin McConaughey's. I didn't like them. I'd sooner just eat the bully beef and the biscuits. And that's how you went. But you used to stop every sail on you and say, "Ray, you are brew up." And everybody had it was like a gun number. One would get the Dixie, other would get the tin, other one would put the sand in, other one would get the petrol. Everybody did his little job, and you did it that quick. You had a brew up where, you know, they had the kettle on and a cup of tea. You used to talk for about, say, quarter of an hour, and you had a cup of tea, and that time, we'd back on the wagon. Everybody used to put the gear back on the wagon because there was oaks on the side of the wagon where you could put these things back. It was all done like a drill, and you got in the way of it. My job was to unhook the Dixie. Another lad used to get the petrol, other one to get the tin for to put the sand in, other one used to put the sand in. Everyone had a job today, and you just had a cup of tea, hot sweet tea, what was lovely, and that was it. But the water, it was water was like salty, and you used to get. It was very short of water, and we had these sherry cans for the water. Of course, they'd been cleaned out and used. But when you boil the water and you put the milk in, if you didn't boil it long enough, it used to curdle. The milk used to curdle, but there'd been salt in the water. But you got used to it. You just got used to these things.
And you said the water was in short supply.
Oh, right, it was.
So how much water might you get each day?
Well, we probably get a jerry can full. I think it was about 4 gallon.
And that would be for everyone. Serve everyone.
When we could get it, because there was water points, you know, where they used to have these wells or something. They used to get it from there, and these bowsers, what they're like little tankers used to come round. And they used to get it from them.